This episode brought to you by
Audible.
Hey, Audible.
Audibletrial.com/horrorversion for 30 days free and a book to get you started. For your book recommendation, I think it's Jen.
It is me. Yes. Today I am recommending Dante's Inferno. Because that is what this movie was based on.
So guys, check out Dante's Inferno on Audible or whatever. This episode also brought to you by
Nick B.
Hey, Nick B.
Fun fact about Nick B. He posted this to the Facebook group. This year for Halloween, he's handing out condiments that he gets from fast food chains.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Like ketchup packets?
Yeah.
That's
why?
Genius.
Why is that genius?
I don't know, because it's probably
buttermilk ranch.
Ugh.
Ranch?
And Taco Bell mild sauce.
That's horrible. Why would you do that?
Well, Nick B is an old person.
That's how you get your...
he has like a drawer full of, you know, random condiments, and he has to empty it out once a year.
That's how you get your house egged.
Yeah, true.
This episode also brought to you by...
John.
All right.
Hey, John.
Let me tell you the truth about John.
Hey, John.
He has a helper.
Oh, my God.
This episode also brought to you by Michael.
Uh-oh.
John's
henchman.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Here's what
Michael
happened.
He's turned against us. Hey,
my
Michael.
Evil twin.
Uh-oh.
You're evil. Your nemesis is what.
Yes,
it is.
Yes. Okay, so their plot this week.
Uh-oh. Dun dun.
John
dun.
Sent Michael to steal.
Todd's left.
All right.
I'm just terrified. That's the one they
potatoes.
Potatoes?
Yeah, they stole potatoes.
Why?
From a lower income family who needed those potatoes to live.
Why?
Are they in Ireland in the 1800s? Why would they do that?
Yes, they took a time machine. Huh.
They teamed up with H.G. Wells and went back in time.
So, John sent Michael back in time to steal potatoes from a poor Irish family right before the famine.
Why?
Yeah.
Did he get a lot of ketchup for Halloween and he had to use it on something?
Bear with me. He brought the potatoes back to the future.
Uh-oh.
We gotta get back to the future.
Gave them to John.
What?
John.
It's not about you. It's your spuds that are the problem.
John went to a nursing home.
Yeah.
What?
Pulled the fire alarm and threw potatoes at the elderly.
Why not just go to the store and buy regular potatoes?
It's less evil.
Less evil.
It's almost like you're making these up on the spot, Mikey.
Yes, Mikey.
Definitely not. And he would have got away with it, too.
Uh-oh.
If it wasn't.
For the patron formerly known as Matt. Now
that's right.
Matthew.
Uh-oh. Hey, Matthew.
Matthew swooped down.
Like a winged Avenger.
Like a winged Avenger.
Wow.
He has an umbrella that helps him fly.
Like Mary Poppins?
Yes, but badassier.
He's a male E. Poppins.
I mean, I'll allow it.
So he swoops down to get between John and the elderly.
And the potatoes. Yeah.
Does he stop them like Neo bullets?
Well, some elderly got hit.
Oh.
I'm alone with you, Jen.
One guy died.
But he was on his way out.
I mean, he was past his prime.
Yeah, listen. His potatoes were almost mashed.
Yeah, yeah. So John runs away to fight another day.
Right.
All out of potatoes.
And then we have a new player arriving.
Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Sends his sidekick.
Who's his sidekick?
Also brought to you by Cody Roy.
Cody Roy?
Oh, my God.
No. I thought he was on our side.
No, he's on the side of good.
He is on the side of good. Pay attention.
Oh, wait. What the fuck is going on? I have lost the whole train of the story.
So Matthew makes Cody Roy pick up the potatoes.
Yes.
Go back in time.
It's a little bit of a power move there.
Yeah.
Well, that's a sidekick's life. And give the potatoes back to the poor Irish family.
It's a loop.
But only 10 minutes later.
They call it a time travel paradox.
And then cue credits.
Wait, is this a screenplay you're pitching us?
This happened. And it's just a small Irish boy.
Yeah.
Holding a potato with gingers in him. You know, stick it like crunched into the potato.
What is a ginger?
No, a ginger.
Dentures?
Dentures!
Why can't you speak words?
I've only read that word.
Oh my God.
Did you think he said gingers?
I did too. I thought you were saying my name.
Okay, hold on.
For
let me read you the
scene.
A small ginger.
Who has read it?
Irish boy.
What?
Back 200 years ago.
Right.
Gets the potatoes back.
But yeah. 10 minutes after they originally disappeared, right? So for those 10 minutes, their potatoes just
they almost died.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he grabs a potato, turns it around, and dentures are sticking out of it.
Uh-oh.
Why dentures? Oh.
Because of the old people.
Because Matthew didn't take them off?
Cody Roy was in charge of gathering
the
potatoes.
Cody Roy, lock it up.
He had to pick all the potatoes up, okay? Because Matthew just swooped off.
And with Mary Poppins' umbrella.
You would think it could shake off a denture.
Yeah, I mean.
It was really in there.
It had that denture glue on it.
And the kid was wearing a potato sack.
The whole time?
The whole time.
The end. Just in case you're not picturing the potato sack.
Yeah.
In case you're not laughing your ass off, you're just not picturing the potato sack.
Mikey, I'm just going to say.
Roll credits.
Bullet points next time.
Bullet points next time.
Dun, 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 ba-dun.
You really underdid yourself. Well, this episode also brought to you by Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
All right, Rebecca. Who wants eye contact?
Always me, Mikey. Well,
Jen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm married, Mikey.
Rebecca, does your left eye hurt?
Ooh.
Because you've been looking right all day.
Oh, my God. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
I thought you were going to work in like a TLC reference.
But you didn't. Die.
Guys, Rebecca has an Etsy store at Etsy.com/...
Straight on till Disney.
Yeah,
I did it right this time.
You did it right. Wow.
Yeah, for all your Disney jeers and not your Disney fears.
What?
Disney tears. Fear? No.
This episode also brought to you by
Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Did you hear that, Mikey? That guitar music from the woods in the Pacific Northwest?
Oh.
That's Carl teaching the youngsters in the area how to play.
Squeal.
I don't think that's the kind of play he means.
Oh.
Guys, if you want to watch Carl not murder kids, but play video games online, go to twitch.tv/Carlos, M-O-L.
What's the website we can go to see him murder kids, though?
I think it's his live leak.
Oh.
So should I, like, bring in the theme music or whatever?
I don't know.
I just killed the ads and you're going to do this shit to me now?
I don't think killed the ads.
I killed the ads. One take. Did we have to do two takes?
Well, that's
Did
true.
I mention Hitler at all?
Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everyone. Happy October.
Oh, my God.
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin, Todd, which means I don't like scary movies. And you guys, and this week I mean the listeners.
Yep, the listeners
this is our
this time.
Listener request. Episode made me watch As Above, So Below.
That's right.
And you're jerks.
Yeah, you were pretty scared by this one.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. The first 40 minutes when it was just like Indiana Jane and the Temple of Doom or whatever, it was fine. It was when it got really scary towards the end.
You mean Shaky Cam Tomb Raider?
Yeah, no, it was like Spooky National Treasure. It was like Spooky National Treasure.
It's more Da Vinci Code than National Treasure because it deals with Jesus Christ. And the chapel that they went to at the very beginning was Roslyn Chapel, which is a chapel they go to in the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, really?
So this movie came out August 29th, 2014.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it?
I did. I just saw it earlier this year. I avoided it because I had heard it didn't really do very well and I'd heard it wasn't good.
We'll talk about that when we get to box office.
Yeah. So I avoided it and then I just found it on Netflix one day and watched it and I really enjoyed it.
And Mikey, have you?
I've never seen it.
Okay. All right. Cool.
First time watch.
I clearly hadn't seen it either.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jen, for you, did you like it?
I did
when
like
you saw it
yeah.
the first time?
I actually, yes, I liked it the first time. I did not like the ending the first time I saw it.
Right.
I really liked it a lot more this time because I...
whole movie or just the ending?
The whole movie. Okay. Well, I liked the ending more this time because I understood why it was the way it was. And we can talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But yeah, but the whole movie, if you didn't hear in the ads, the whole movie is an allegory for the Inferno.
Yeah.
And so it just follows the basic plot structure of that. And that's the way the Inferno ends. So now that I could see what it was doing and I saw a little bit more of the pieces sprinkled in earlier, I did like it a lot more. Yeah.
Cool. Mikey, did you like it?
I liked it. I don't think I would watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this movie better when it was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Before shit got real.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when they go into the temple.
Yeah. No, I mean, and they heal someone with the, yeah, I mean, you're
with
not
the,
wrong.
With the grill,
yeah.
And then, like, he has to take a leap of faith, and he has to, like, bow and, like, find the thing.
The penitential pass.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I haven't either, but I watch it so, so much.
Yeah,
when I
know that
kid.
Movie in the back of my head. Oh, and the Holy Grail guard, and, like, yeah, it's all in there.
He was a Templar.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there. That's Temple of Doom.
That's Temple of Doom.
Oh. Ugh.
It made me, like, yeah.
That's the scariest part of the whole movie.
I fucking hated it.
Well, and when they rip somebody's heart out.
Last Crusade. They go to a temple at the end.
I did like Last Crusade. Yeah. And so there's an element of that too when they take the wrong
yeah.
stone.
You chose poor.
They didn't take the wrong stone in this one. We'll get there.
Kind of, yeah.
I didn't like this movie. There were some scary, scary parts. It wasn't a horrible movie. Like, mm-hmm. I understand why people do like it. I just hate movies that don't explain the end and that make you sort of infer things or, like, project your own shit on it because they're lazy writers. So I didn't like that so much. And now to hear that they just ripped off Dante's Inferno, I'm a little even more pissed.
Well, and if I had not heard the Sum of All Fear talk about this show and tell me that it was an Inferno allegory, I wouldn't have known that. And because I feel like it's all there if you know the Inferno, but if you don't, I didn't see any of that.
I mean it's like C.S. Lewis style lazy.
I mean, okay, I'll give it to it. I like that it was like some people's personal hell, but it didn't go into enough characters for me to understand why certain characters died.
I've got fun facts about it.
I get it. Like the girl being killed by Mole Man or whatever.
Being beat to death with her head.
How is that her personal hell? And then like Benji getting killed by the woman, did I miss like why that was his personal hell?
Well, they didn't necessarily get killed in the way that was their personal hell. They just got killed because they hadn't atoned for their sins.
Well, I mean, but they would get taunted by their own personal demons. Like, the car crash and the phone call. So it showed up for like most characters, but then there was like three that was like, you know what? Just have like a creepy baby thing kill him.
Well, let's get into this fucking movie, Jen.
Okay. We start with Todd reminding us how much he hates found footage.
I do. It's the worst. It is just close cut. I hate quick jump cuts and all that shit. I hate it so much.
I love found footage. I like well done found footage. And I think this is, we can talk about that one.
I've seen worse found footage. Like,
I like some found footage.
And so now, we see legs in a car or on a bus and someone is crossing the Iranian border and
it's a woman.
She's entering of her own free will.
Well, she says that into the camera because if I die while this is happening, and she explains that she's going to be going into a cave and that cave is scheduled to be blown up at like midnight tonight or whatever. So
she's kind of close there. She should have came the
she
day before.
She is kind of close. Yeah. I mean, because you got to get an earlier flight. What are we even doing here?
Also, if you're trying to sneak into Iran, maybe don't take out a camera and speak English into it.
Well, maybe it was a hidden camera. She was whispering, Mikey.
It doesn't matter.
Well, she didn't get caught. Anyway,
that's a convenient plot.
So she goes into an apartment or some kind of building. It looks like a place where a guy lives.
Yeah.
And he takes her down into a tunnel and he's saying, if they catch you, it'll be very bad for you. So they go into a secret, creepy tunnel.
She's a woman.
And she's like, not Iranian.
Yeah.
Right. And so they're hearing sirens and she wants him to leave. And so she finally goes into this little tunnel.
Yeah. He's dug into the tunnel system from his apartment.
Yeah. Well, and so maybe he was his apartment is placed on top of this tunnel to be a guardian for this thing.
Well, that's a lot of projection you're doing right there. I would say that he definitely Shawshank Redemption his way into this tunnel, but for no apparent reason. Like there is no reason. We don't even know how she met this
person. No, he just has a really strict wife and his escape plan failed.
Instead of a poster of Rita Hayworth, it's like the Ayatollah and she just like pokes through it and it's like.
Or we don't know who it is because it's just covered.
Ayatollah Khomeini, it's fine.
So she's going down into the secret tunnel and we start to hear the sirens and we're seeing like guards walking by and so they're about to blow this tunnel
up. The guards are honestly just making sure no one's in there because they're about to blow the fucker up.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So she finds this stone with all this kind of writing
like
on
a tablet.
It. And then
it's in the stone, like you were saying.
right. So she's like tracing it and trying to figure it out, and then she starts chiseling and she just like punches through
it. I think she kicks through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Eventually. Because they're starting to hear and the time is running out.
Yeah, she doesn't have time.
And so she goes in and she sees this giant statue that looks like a bull, and it reminded me of Baal, like B-A-A-L, not a weird thing. Reminded me.
Not like one testicle, Mikey.
Yeah. You want to come worship my B.A.?
No, we don't. No, not part of that cult.
Explain who Baal.
Baal is the false god that the Hebrews were, or the Israelites were
false
worshiping.
Is a hard word.
I heard that was a really badass religion. You just Baal to fall.
So anyways. So Ball,
you both hate that you laughed. I love it.
So B-A-A-L, Ball, it was the god that the Hebrews or the Israelites were worshiping while Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and they came down and he cast them out or did whatever. I don't remember.
Pretty sure it was 15 commandments, but yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, and then he dropped it, right?
Yeah, he dropped one of them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but it looks like a giant bull and it's got carvings on it.
It looks like the Merrill Lynch bull.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Except black, not gold.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I wonder what, is it actually black or is it just that it's
dark? Obsidian.
Anyway, but it's got carvings on it. And so she's trying to take pictures of it really, really quickly because the building's about to blow up.
It's just video. She's just scanning it. She's not taking pictures.
Because she wants to, anyway, she wants to translate it later. And then she's running out and the dude has already left. And he's like, look, fuck you. I got a family. I got to get
the
fuck out of here.
And the creepiest part about this scene is the air raid sirens.
Yeah.
I hate those things.
Because we hear the explosion and then shit just starts crumbling all around her.
She gets out from the sort of antechamber that Ball or the bull is in, right? And then she sees it's her dad. I knew it was her dad. I even said it wasn't that scene, but her dad hanging there.
Right.
And then it's like it explodes and he disappears as the explosion happens. And then she starts to run out of the cave system and barely makes it back to this dude's living room before the thing collapses.
He's saying, this is the path to madness, and everyone who goes looking for this stone is crazy, and they will all wake up dead.
And then she says, maybe you should have thought about that before you tunneled into it from your living room.
Yeah, dummy.
All right, so now we're interviewing Scarlett, and she's sitting, she's talking about all of the degrees she has.
And she's
has.
Back in France. We should say that.
Is she back in France or just went to France? She's not from France. She's English.
I think she's been to France before.
Because remember, between this scene and the last scene, she's now English.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. In the beginning, she doesn't have an accent. And then in this scene, automatically, she has an English accent. I honestly think she just like hit her head on the way out and now she has like that brain thing.
No. But she has it for the rest of the movie. So
yeah, she does. Do you think she was, when she was in Iran, she was like, I better pretend to have an American accent?
Because that'll work. I'm Canadian. We still hate you.
What's this tablet all about?
So now we cut to Scarlett and she's sitting outside and it's a nice lovely day and they're in Paris and she's doing an interview with someone who we find out is Benji. He's the guy behind the camera. And she is talking about how she's got a billion degrees and she speaks like 19 different languages. She also has a black belt in Krav Maga. So she's pretty awesome. And she said her dad was really strict and had like a lot of really high expectations for her academically.
Yeah, it's like Tomb Raider.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
Like Tomb
Raider. Indiana Jane.
She wears the same boots.
She needs a whip and a fedora. It'd be over.
Is any other part of her costume the same as Indiana Jane or Tomb Raider, though?
Indiana Jane isn't a thing.
But yes.
But I'm sure there's a porn called Indiana Jane.
Oh, I'm sure there
is. I'm sure there is.
I wouldn't know.
Guys, Google it. Let me know.
I'm sure there's probably just some like light erotica called Indiana Jane or whatever.
Light like fan fiction?
Erotica. Yeah. Oh, I bet there's some fan fiction. But what do we learn in this scene?
We learn that she is on a quest for the Philosopher's Stone. Honestly, I didn't hear a lot of this. Because you guys were talking.
Well, because she's like, I'm after the Philosopher's Stone. And I was like, the Philosopher's Stone?
Like Harry Potter?
Let me tell you about Harry Potter, guys.
I was like, yeah, the Philosopher's Stone. Which made me think that Todd believed in the Philosopher's Stone. We had some hijinks.
Well, no, I mean, it's not a real thing, but it's a real myth.
I knew that.
Yeah.
What Todd found out was that the Philosopher's Stone had been him the whole time.
Aw. It's the Dragon Scroll.
Aw. What's the Dragon Scroll?
It's from Kung Fu Panda.
Aw. Well.
I mean, that's a good movie.
I like it.
So her father is looking for the Philosopher's Stone.
Her father spent
his lifetime looking for the Philosopher's Stone. And this is Nicholas Flamel's Philosopher's Stone.
Just like Harry Potter.
Is he a real guy?
It's a real myth.
Yes, he is a real guy, and I got fun facts.
Oh, okay. But that's what J.K. Rowling kind of based that whole storyline on Harry Potter, but it's a real myth.
It is, yeah.
This is very different from Harry Potter, but...
Yes, and this part is not part of the Inferno. Anyway.
But it's the reason to get them to go into it, but it's not a part of Dante's Inferno.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So he is like the world's preeminent researcher, historian on the Sorcerer's Stone. I'm sorry, on the Philosopher's Stone. I forgot what country I was from for a minute.
He being the main character's father.
Yes, who has passed away. And that's when we find out that her father hung himself.
Right.
And so now she's looking for it too, I guess, is to try to continue his quest. And we find out that she's pretty reckless about trying to find this thing.
Yeah.
Well, we already saw it.
She's very single-minded. I mean, yeah, you're right, though, because when she was in Iran, she had to Iran so far away out of that tunnel because it was blowing up.
So now she's going to a museum, and she's telling us all about Nicholas Flamel. And she's showing us this thing, this bull thing that she found is called the Rose Key. And it's kind of, she even says it's like a Rosetta Stone, and it's got like clues in different languages and stuff.
Alchemy symbols.
Yes.
I also think it was in a different language too, because that's what leads us to George,
it's
right?
It's in Aramaic.
That's what it was.
And that's one of the languages that she doesn't speak.
Right.
So she knows a guy who speaks that language.
Wangy
blangy. Mm-hmm.
He's real good with his mouth, Mikey.
Shapes all the letters real well.
Because learning a different language is like a whole workout for the mouth.
It is. He's pretty dreamy, though.
We'll always have turkey. What is this, Thanksgiving? Let's move on.
I think they just gobble at each other in bed.
Oh, I'd lose my mind if that's what they do.
I hate you.
I bet that would feel good.
A turkey on your dick?
We should move on.
All right. So now she goes to see George in Paris. And Todd, what building was this that she was in Paris?
Everyone, Todd's been to Paris.
Actually, Jen has been to Paris.
I've never been to Paris.
I have been to Paris.
Mm-hmm. It looked like Roslyn Chapel.
That's right, yeah.
But I don't know if that's true, so don't fact check me. But they go to it in the Da Vinci Code.
Do they?
And that's the reason I thought I recognized it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was for sure. She mentions the Rose Key. Mm-hmm. So that's what made me think it was probably the Roslyn Chapel.
She goes to this Roslyn Chapel.
It may or may not be Roslyn
Chapel. She goes
to
like a chapel in the Paris.
And George is there, and he apparently just likes to break in and fix clocks.
Oh, even though that probably would make him like $100,000 doing this one job.
Right.
Yeah, because it hasn't rung in 240 years, Mikey.
Or 4 years.
Yeah, we might have heard. There's no telling. He's fixing the clock in what may or may not be Roslyn Chapel.
Right.
And Scarlett and Benji go sort of confront him. Not confront him, but like, hey, can you help us? We're trying to decode this stuff, and you speak Aramaic. We need your help.
And he's like, fuck you. Yeah. You left me in Turkish jail last time. And no, that is not a sex thing. That was actually the jail you left me in.
It might have been a sex thing, Jen.
It was the best weekend of his life.
Yeah.
But yeah, he doesn't even want to hear it. And he's got these sweet-ass sexy glasses on.
He's got like watch repair glasses. Like a bunch of
I know.
He does. What bothered me the most about this scene is that the bell starts working when he's talking to her, and he's not working on it.
He had an assistant.
And the assistant was like, finally, that glasses dude left so I can actually fix this thing.
Did he have an assistant?
Yeah.
I didn't even see the assistant.
I don't know.
I thought Benji just kicked something and it started working again.
Of course. So anyways, she's saying she's sorry that she left him in that Turkish jail. And
right. My bad.
But that she found the Rose Key, and now he's all into it. And so he wants to look at the pictures, and she says she needs somebody to help him translate.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't. And this is kind of a weird scene because she's telling him that she found the Rose Key in Iran. And he's asking her if she went there all by herself.
Yeah, because you probably shouldn't travel to Iran by yourself.
Right, exactly. Just showing that she's reckless.
Yes.
And showing that he cares.
Yes.
Then they seem to have an implied romantic history.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, although we don't really find out a whole lot of details about that. And that's okay with me, because I think it's implied
enough.
At the
end, they totally go somewhere and they bang it out.
Do some gobbling.
Yeah, they gobble the turkey.
They get that stuff in. All right.
And so he's fixed the clock. And this clock hasn't rung in either 284 or just 4 years.
We
may have been talking and didn't hear.
We didn't want to go back. We were like Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
We were like, we've come too far. We can't go back and listen to it again.
The best part was like, 284 years. Blah, blah, and I was like, I think he said four.
And I was like, oh, my bad. Okay. That makes more sense.
But so the bells start ringing, and they're standing on the balcony and just watching, and all the Parisian people are like, what the fuck? I thought that clock had been dead for 284 years.
Or
maybe just 4 years. Yeah. And so he agrees to help her translate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we cut to
him talking to some super hot girl who he's trying to seduce into a museum.
He was trying to seduce her into letting them into a museum.
Right.
I thought it was the girl he was like dating.
No. It might be. I don't know. I mean, he has.
Because she was like, she's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, because I think he's like, I knew a friend.
I mean, he just said friend. He wasn't saying, hey, my girlfriend.
She asked about her after they talked.
Who's that?
Mm-hmm. What does he say, Mikey?
He's like, that's a friend.
Yeah, just a friend.
He's a professional acquaintance, I think.
Yeah.
I know her for professional
I have plenty of professional acquaintances.
Oh my God, Mikey, it's amazing you're still employed. So they go into the museum.
Words have never been spoken.
So they go into the museum and they start looking at this.
Yeah.
It's like the tombstone.
Same
plaque. It is the same plaque, but it's like a tombstone sort of thing.
It's above his grave.
It was his gravestone, but it's in a museum.
Gravestone. Right, thank you.
That's right. So they only have 10 minutes in this museum also. Right. That's how he had to seduce that girl to get them in, I guess, after hours.
10 minutes.
10 minutes in heaven for 10 minutes in the museum.
Yeah, nice. Exactly.
Anyway, so they get this tablet and they start decoding it. And they're like, the keys on the back of this carving. It's on the back. So like they take it down and set it on its front so the back is revealed.
And this part is really cool.
Yeah, it was. And then she like does this MacGyver trick and kind of gets the whole back wet. And
she gets her like artifact luminol and sprays it. Yeah.
And then she lights it on fire and then it reveals this code.
Yeah.
Right. And then they take a picture of it, put the thing back, and then go outside.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like invisible writing ink. Now here's the thing though. She has all this luminol chemicals, but she doesn't have a book of matches because she's got to get it from somebody else.
No, she didn't have that. She stole it from the cleaning company.
Oh, exactly. Did she?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because that's why she was talking about, like, you can make this stuff out of, like, cleaning products.
The part was actually hilarious because she's like, we could make this out of cleaning products. And then, like, camera, like, swings over to, like, a cleaning cart. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
All right. So the next thing is they're standing outside and looking at this because they took a picture of this fire writing.
Yeah.
And so he's translating, and it's a riddle, but it's what is lost shall be regained and the gates of hell or something. And it's this long riddly kind of thing. So they start doing some hell math and they're calculating where different places in hell are and where they're going to have to go. So they figure out through the hell math that they have to get 370 feet below the earth.
Yeah, because the original devil's number was not 666. It was 741. And then after it was 741, it was 616. And then it was changed to 666 because those numbers are correlated to the emperor of Rome's name.
Really?
And Nero was the last emperor of Rome, and his name equated to 666 in the alphanumeric Roman alphabet or whatever.
Todd's fun fact.
So where'd the 741 come from?
From whoever emperor that was. I don't know their names. When there was a new emperor,
they...
So the number would change because they were persecuted by Rome until Constantine made the religion in 1312 or whatever, made the religion Christian.
Hmm.
Yeah.
No, one of the emperors made Christian the religion.
Yeah, Emperor Constantine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Welcome to the conversation.
The Constitation. There we go.
Conversion, because they converted the religion.
But they talk about the Council of Nicaea in Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Because that's when they voted on the books that got put into the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So, but how can they get 370 feet beneath the earth? Well, luckily, there's tunnels under Paris.
Catacombs,
yes,
baby.
Yes, they're called the catacombs.
Which, and I don't know anything about the catacombs, really. I don't.
I know a little bit about it just because I did some research on it, but I know that they're super fucking creepy and I would never go down there.
They said there were 6 million dead people down
there.
That's true.
That's a no from me.
Do you want the fun facts about the catacombs now?
Yeah, let's do fun facts now. It's going to bother me the whole episode if we don't talk about it now.
Yeah. And I think it makes it a little creepier knowing that they filmed it there.
Fun facts. That's what they call sections of pet stores where there's combs for cats.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cat.
Cat. No, those are catty combs.
Oh, damn. It's close, though.
Yeah,
oh,
almost. Man. Yeah. So the catacombs are... The catacombs are a real place in Paris. They are limestone pits. And so what happened was there used to be a big cemetery called Les Innocents Cemetery. There were lots of dead people in the cemetery and they started to smell. And there was one year in particular where there was a ton of rain and this giant retaining wall broke. And so all these bodies just spilled out all over the place.
God.
So like, okay, well, we got to figure something else out. So they built the catacombs in these lime pits underneath Paris.
So they put all the cats in there and then they built the dogacombs and put all the dogs in there and then the humanicombs.
Dogacombs are in Germany.
Oh, okay. My bad. That makes sense. That makes sense.
It's the metric system. But it took them 2 years to bring all of the bodies from the Les Innocents Cemetery into the catacombs. And then they started bringing other bodies from the cemeteries, from other cemeteries around the city in there. And then I think they just started putting bodies in there. So yeah, there are 6 million bodies in the cemetery. Give or take.
That's a lot.
I know. So all the skulls and everything you see and the bones are real bones from real people. So yeah, totally haunted as fuck. But yeah, really interesting. And it's 186 miles long, I think. All right. So they figure out that they can go to Flamel's grave through the catacombs, but they're going to have to burrow through the earth to do that.
Yeah.
And they're looking at this thing. And apparently there have been two collapses throughout the city over like the past 200 years. And so why would the ground collapse? Because there's emptiness underneath.
And empty space underneath them.
Right.
There were two actual like cave-ins, right?
Yes. Two actual cave-ins.
There's a third one that like didn't make the records or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the one they got to get into.
Right. Yeah. That's where they think the hidden chamber might be. Yeah. So I guess just luckily that one didn't cave in and they can actually get to it.
Yeah. It doesn't really make
plot,
too much
or whatever.
Sense.
Let's go. Let's go to the catacombs. Yeah.
All right. So, but George is saying he's not going to go underground. And so now we're on a tour of the catacombs and they're just kind of looking around and there's this lady who's leading them through.
Yeah. She's a tour guide
and saying it's the largest crypt in the world. And they're seeing stuff on their, on the wall that says the sound of the trumpet, the dead will rise. And
it's in French and she's translating it for us.
Yeah. She finds remains from the same cemetery as Flamel's grave. So this is where she figure out where she needs to go. And she's like, we need to go like half a mile that way.
Right. And at this point, they turn around. And they see a French kid sitting down behind them. And he's like, you can't get in down there. You have to talk to Pepe.
Papillon.
Not Pepe the Frog.
No. Yeah.
Papillon.
Papillon.
That's Pepe Le Pew.
My bad. So anyway, while they're talking to this French kid, and the French kid's like, you've got to talk to Papillon, the lady tour guide comes up and says, hey, keep up with us, you nerd.
Ghost, come on.
But in French, keep up with us. And then they start to go, and then Benji turns the camera around to look where the boy was, and the boy's gone.
Oh, no, it's like he was never really there.
Yeah. He just has ADHD. He's moving on to whatever's next.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, he's moving around.
Squirrel!
I gotta go.
How'd I get in the catacombs?
I left the oven on.
Oh, jeez.
So now we're back above ground, and and Scarlett is explaining to George they gotta find Papillon.
Right.
And they can find him at this club.
At the club. They got to tear the club up.
Papillon is obviously at the club.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
So now they get the club attire.
Yes, they do.
They go in and the camera slowly looks at this really weird looking girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's the same girl you see in the tomb.
Spoilers.
Singing. Yeah. You see her a bunch. She's the guy who kills Benji.
And it reminds me of the girl in VHS.
But she does have that look on her face.
She does, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you look at this through the Inferno, she is actually one of the Warners before they actually get there.
Yeah, the hymn singers or whatever. Yeah.
I think she's like a white wolf that warns him away and kind of chases him down into the tunnel. Anyways, that's a reference to the Inferno is what I think her point is. But it was really creepy because then we see her later walking by a window and she's still there and she's still just creepily looking.
She is wearing white in this scene.
She is. Yeah. So we find Papillon and she's asking him if he can take her into the tunnel. He's like, "Dio, am I a fucking tour guide? I don't look like a tour guide." And she's saying that
I look like a tourist?
Exactly.
Which she does.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's not from that. She looks less like she doesn't have a camera and like a bandana.
She's definitely followed around by a dude with a camera.
Yeah.
She
doesn't have like a touristy camera and a fanny pack. And like
she's in like club attire and a camera.
Right.
She looks like a Hilton.
She's like an Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
She is.
Gotta get some good pics down there.
Take pictures of me in my bikini in the catacombs.
I bet that's been done.
Let's Google it. Don't really.
No,
Google
don't.
Until you get home.
All right.
Wangy, wangy.
All right. So, but he's saying if there was a secret tunnel down there, I would have found it because I'm down there all the fucking time. And she's saying, no. I think there's treasure. And so he's like, I take half the treasure. And she's like, you can have the whole thing.
And then George is like, hey, your half is fine.
Exactly.
Half is fine. Shut up, Scarlett.
Don't ruin this for me.
Yeah.
But so anyways, they agree to go. So it's now.
If I was George.
Right.
And my ex came at me and was like, I need you to translate this thing and I'm going to go treasure hunting and I want you to go.
Right.
I would not be involved in that in any way, shape, or form. I'd read her thing and I'd be like, as I discussed with you before, I need space.
I'm werewolfing you.
Yeah.
I don't know. She wants to go to the club. Maybe he's thinking they can.
I mean, I'd go to the club. Yes.
Right, exactly.
I would go to the club.
Right. I don't know. Maybe just hanging on.
Because the club is the first line in a road of bad decisions on a night with Mikey.
Yeah.
All right. But so it's the next day and they're in a van and we're meeting the rest of his team.
Right.
This would be a good time for them to hook up and like showed us some like character development.
I think he's hanging around because he does still care about her and he's worried because he knows like she's kind of a loose cannon adventurer, you know?
Yeah, she rushes into shit and maybe he can save her life by helping even her out. Okay. But this is where, I guess it cuts to the next scene and they're like in a van with Papillon, his girlfriend whose name starts with an S.
Suksi, and she's a banshee and that's some pop culture reference that I didn't get.
I don't get it either.
All right, well. Cool.
But yeah, and so we see Papillon has got burns on his hand.
Yes.
And we find out later how he got them.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we meet their other friend.
We think his name is Zed. So we're going to call him Zed.
Which, if that's his name, that makes sense because he's there at the end.
Yeah, true.
So Zed being Z, he's at the end. That makes
sense. Love Zed.
I do too.
Zed's the best character in the fucking movie.
He doesn't talk at all.
Yeah. I mean, he talks a little bit. He tries to lay down some sick beats right now, but he can't really. Yeah, but I mean, he seems nice and he's making
some
jokes.
Seem nice. Yeah, absolutely.
He's like his childhood friend, right?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah. So they're following Papillon. Papillon's telling him, this is how we get in there. And you got to go real quick because if the police catch us with all this stuff that clearly says, hey, we're going down into the catacombs now, then we're going to be fucked.
And these police are
ultra aggressive.
Yeah, because when they get there, and George goes with them, and George the whole time is like, I'm just going to walk you to the entrance. I'm not going
in. This is George's mistake. You sleep with her after the club, and then you say, you have fun in the catacombs, honey.
Yeah, text me when you get out.
Yeah, I'm going to chill out and watch the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Bring me the dragon scroll. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, the closer you get, you know he's going down in there.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. after that club, you're always going down in there.
So they get all the way to this teeny little hole in the... Oh, my God. Look, we're just going to have to get over this because there are lots of holes in this movie.
Yep.
More and more mysterious and dangerous as we go. So get it out of your systems right now, guys.
That is 100% true. Mikey, I mean, she's not wrong.
And like, the only way out is through.
The holes do get more dangerous the further you go back.
Yeah. One has fire. It burns.
Yeah.
That's the bad one.
Stay away from that hole.
Yeah. Honestly, if any of her holes are fire, stay away from all of them. Jen.
Do more, Jen. Do more.
And honestly, wetter.
It does. I mean,
and then eventually there's blood.
Gross.
Gotta get those stains out.
All right, listeners.
I think, are we done? Do you want to do some more?
Wrap it up, boys!
I mean, I'm sure this is going to come back.
Of course. You definitely want to wrap it up when you go in those caves.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You don't know where the caves have been?
Yeah. So now we're going into a tunnel, and they find the teeny tiny little hole that they're going to crawl through, not sexually.
Right.
But...
I'm just laughing because Mikey's laughing like it's funny to me that Mikey's laughing so much. All right. Sorry. Jen,
all right.
We will be serious.
Okay.
All right, Jen, tell me about the tiny hole. I'm ready.
So they go to a tiny little hole that's got all kinds of tags on it.
Yes. They call them tramp stamps.
No. Okay.
Oh my God. So they get to a tunnel within a tunnel, within a train track tunnel.
Tunnelception.
Yes, it's tunnelception. And they're going to even more tunnel inception it by crawling inside the ception tunnel.
But George is trying to say bye to them.
Yes,
and this is where they get jumped by the police.
Why did he get cold feet?
Why did he just say bye at the van?
He should have said bye at the van.
Because he really wants to get in that tunnel.
That's true.
He already got in last night.
He didn't get in.
No, he didn't.
They didn't have sex that night.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
He translated her tablet.
Whoa.
They went and found Papillon.
It's not transactional, Mikey. Yeah. Love is love.
Yeah.
That was not love, friend.
She has the right to say no, no matter how many favors.
It doesn't matter how many things you've translated.
I'm just saying they had a lot of special moments.
They
did, yeah.
And some alcohol.
They had turkey.
And she's single-minded, though.
He's single-minded.
She's not fine. She's not letting him in there until she finds the stone.
Yeah.
I'll narrate this part.
Uh-oh.
They're like, hey, let's crawl into the hole. That's not sexual. And then they're like, out of the darkness of the tunnel.
Yeah,
it's
scary.
Like a 28 days later zombie. This police officer doesn't go, hey, kids, stop. He goes, I'm going to tackle one of nine people climbing into this hole.
He doesn't say anything, though. He just does that.
He just starts beating a guy.
Yeah, and this is when George, who was like saying bye, like jumps into the hole to get away from the cops.
Right.
I would have just ran out of the tunnel.
Me too. I would have run away. There's no way in hell.
I'm American.
Dante's hell or real hell, exactly, that I would go into that hole.
I think going to jail in a foreign country for
He's already been to jail in Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey exactly. Jail.
Parisian prisons are better than fucking Turkish prisons.
And this is like a trespassing. This is like a misdemeanor.
This is nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
I would. I mean, like,
it's illegal to go into the catacombs. I think that's it.
He was in the train tunnel.
He also had zero gear. He could be like, I was telling them to not do what they were about to do.
Yeah.
I'm on your side, cops. Let's arrest them.
Wrap it up, boys.
Let's go.
Suspect is holeless.
Exactly. So he could have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not jumped in that hole. Anyway, either way, it's a plot point. They've got to get him in that hole.
Exactly.
As fast and as hard as they can. So the cops run in, he jumps down the hole, and pretty much everyone gets down the hole except for the cops.
And then Papilia starts lighting fireworks.
Papilia?
Papillon.
Papillon.
Papillon. It's not what you do to potatoes. I'm going to Papilia. So Papillon does like throw fireworks and it just scares the cops away.
Get into a hole, you want to celebrate.
And he does.
Yeah.
So now that they're in the hole,
now they're all in the hole.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Benji gives George a new headlamp.
Yeah, because he has retrofitted their headlamps with cameras.
Yeah, and now we find out what a shitty girlfriend Scarlett is because Benji's like, why doesn't he like holes?
Well, George is freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And we find out that his little brother died in a cave when he was a kid. So, of course, he doesn't like caves. It's real sad.
We've lost a lot of good guys in tight caves, Mikey.
Is this some kind of sex joke?
Yes.
Yes. The earnestness of your yes is what sold that. All right.
Oh, geez. Listeners.
This is a Todd and Mikey episode.
Yeah, we need we need a whole joke counter. All right. And so now she's going up because she thinks now is a good time to apologize because he never returned her calls. She's like, he never called me back. And he's like, yeah, fuck you. You left me in a jail.
Yeah.
She's like, I couldn't let the trail get cold. Anyways, she's so single-minded in her focus to get this rock.
I think it starts with a C, Joe.
I was going to make a rocks off joke. So anyways, he's mad at her because she keeps like destroying all of her relationships to try to find the Sorcerer's Stone and is fucking everybody else and doesn't matter.
Right. And then like his brother died there and now he's stuck there and he's got to he's freaking out.
Also, he's a rational person who doesn't want to be in a fucking haunted cave.
Yeah.
So now they're going down another tunnel and it's really creepy. And there's one that has water in it. And fun fact,
wet tunnel. We get it.
It's a wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But fun fact about wet tunnels.
Oh.
So the water table under Paris has risen a lot in the last couple of hundred years. So a lot of the catacomb tunnels are flooded, but it's with clean and cool water because it's from underground, not polluted.
Interesting. So you could drink it?
I mean, yeah, but it's probably got body parts and stuff in it.
Oh, good call. Don't drink bony water.
I will not make that mistake again.
I bet you will. All right.
Well, all right. Okay, so they're walking through a lot of tunnels, and this is like the first, this is the vestibule if you're looking at it through the Hell Journey. Okay, and so they're walking around, and he's saying there's a really cool room down there, but we're not going to go this time. So then he sees hot candles.
Yeah, it was super weird. So they go further into the area where you see the hot candles, and then you see like a chamber that you can see into, and it's just a bunch of like ladies, some of which are topless, singing like hymns.
Yeah. And so one of them sees them and starts looking, but they're singing all this creepy choral music.
That's the girl who saw them before at the club.
Is it?
Yeah. It's the same
really
girl.
Awkward when you walk into them the next day.
Yeah.
So the opportunists are the ones that are clothed and the outcasts are the ones that are naked. And those are the people that are in the vestibule on the outside.
What does any of that mean?
Is it the
it
first
relates to Dante. Yeah. It's the higher level.
So there was a reason for some of them to be naked and some of them not to be.
It wasn't
fully naked. It was like topless and not topless.
Right. Like varying levels of it. Yeah. So that's what that's representing. And lots of times if you see things like that, that don't quite make sense. It's a reference to the
Generally when I see stuff like that, it doesn't make sense.
Just file it away for later. Okay, and so now we get to a part that really fucked me up because I would never want to do this. So they find this, it looks like a shelf, except it's a tunnel, but it's just like on a pile of bones.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're going to crawl through this tunnel.
Well, first they have an argument because she's like, I want to go down the other way. That looks quicker. And they're like, that's the haunted tunnel.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have a friend that went in there 2 years ago and we haven't seen him since.
Exactly. Latoupe. And he used to live down here, which is fucked up.
His name is the Mole, which I think you just said in French.
Latoupe is his name. I just don't know what.
Yeah, they call him Latoupe because they're French, but he then clarifies that means the Mole.
Oh, yeah. He says he's been the Mole the whole
which
time.
Makes sense because he turns on them.
Oh, and he has those goggles that are mole-like.
Yep. Yeah, so he is the mole.
Right.
But also, he's like a homeless guy who lives in the catacombs.
Well, I think he's like a weirdo adventurer guy, but also he's dead and he's part of hell. So he's kind of like the Virgil equivalent because Virgil is the one who guides them through hell.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they don't want to go through this haunted tunnel, though, because Latoupe disappeared through this haunted tunnel.
Yes.
But so they want to go over the skull and bones tunnel, which is terrifying. So they start crawling over and they're like crawling on actual people's bones and it's gross and I don't like it.
I hated this shot, but only because it like shows them crawling through and then it shows Benji sort of freaking out, getting stuck,
yeah,
and then it collapsing and him pulling through or getting through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that takes 3 minutes. It's like 3 minutes of just Benji.
Yeah, and he's and having a panic attack. Out. Yeah,
yeah, but there's no reason to minutes. Show that much of it. Like, I get it. Let's move on.
I don't know. I liked this part. It reminded me of the part in The Descent when she gets stuck. The Descent, too.
Yeah, but that part's not 3 minutes. It's like 30 seconds.
It is
they
kind of a long time.
Could have done all that in 30 seconds. I don't know.
And it's a tight shot on his forehead, and he's like, I don't know.
And he gets like smacked in the face with a bone at one point.
I laughed. It was funny. Yeah, yeah. It was like, I've done that before.
I like it, though. I think it's really tense because I'm just.
Mikey got it.
I heard it. I was just. Oh my goodness!
They should have brought a dog down there.
The dogs can only go in the dogger combs.
Yeah, true.
This whole movie would have been better if the Scooby Gang was doing it.
I'm scared, maybe. Scooby. All right, let's move on. Come on, let's get into it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and but while he's stuck, he's saying something bit him, and we hear the choir, and it's really freaky. And I really liked the scene. It did go
you think
on
a woman
for a
bit
while
because I thought I heard a rat noise.
No, nothing bit him. Nothing bit him. It never comes back. He was just losing his mind. It's part of his panic attack.
Yeah. But I like it. I think it's a real tense scene.
It is, but they could have been 30 seconds and not 3 minutes.
Well, true.
It but actually probably was only 30 seconds.
It just felt like 3 minutes. Yeah. So,
but listen, 30 seconds is a long time, ladies.
I like to set their expectations low, and that way I can surprise them.
All right. And so the ceiling collapses on him.
It doesn't collapse on him, but it does collapse, and he gets pulled through.
Yes,
yeah.
Just barely. But now, so their way out is blocked off, but they see the haunted tunnel in this room now, too.
And then, and then Papillon is like, this is not right.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, sacre bleu.
And he even says, like, I've been this way before. This is not where we should have been let out. It's supposed to be a straight shot, not this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the haunted tunnel. We should not go through it.
Exactly. And I've never been this way before.
Right.
But then we see that his tag is on the tunnel wall.
And he's like, oh, my French bread. No, the tag is not to me.
But so now we know something is amiss.
The whole movie is amiss.
But then they break down the little passageway that was sort of blocked up and go through it.
The evil tunnel, yeah.
Because they have nowhere else to go.
Oh, but
except for out, which they should have done.
Well, no, because
they blocked off.
So they go in the haunted tunnel, and this is when, and they hear a phone ringing, which I really liked. And since I'd seen this a second time, I knew that that was her father calling.
Yeah.
From when he tried to call her and she didn't answer and he killed himself. Spoilers for the rest of the movie. But anyways, so that's what that's a reference to. So we're hearing a phone and they're like, what the fuck? Is it the phone company used to use these catacombs, but 50 years ago.
In this movie, is it saying that her sin was that she didn't answer the phone?
I think so, yeah.
Or it's not their sin. It's
just something she wouldn't forgive herself for?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That is what it is.
Because if someone, if that actually happens, like, that, it's not your responsibility to just answer a phone in the middle of the night to stop someone from killing themselves. I just want to make that clear.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not your fault if they kill.
Right.
Like, you're not responsible for their actions.
But it is eating at her. So, yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, and I think you said it right. She can't forgive herself for it.
Right. She does at the end. We'll get there.
All right. So now they're finding the place where the building collapsed. And this was where the first building collapsed. And I don't think there's really any point to this other than it's just creepy.
Just to show that they're on the right trail, I think.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Papillon says that out of all the people that came down to help, 50 never returned.
Right. So even more haunted.
Yes.
Yes. Turn back now because it's terrible.
Yes.
All right. And now they're walking down a corridor and they see a piano. And it's a real dusty, upright piano. And George is saying, we had a piano just like this. And my brother and I used to play My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean, but there was a funky note, so we never got to finish the song.
The A4 key.
Yeah.
And then he goes up and plays it, and the A4 key is the one that doesn't work.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Why would you play a creepy piano in a catacombs?
Because you're insane. There's no reason to ever play anything in the catacombs.
And George was like, what's going on? Oh, and I was like, bro, you did this to yourself.
Yeah, that's definitely how you unlock the spell.
So they play the creepy as fuck piano, and then they walk further, and they hear the phone ringing again.
They do,
And then Scarlett starts running towards the phone, finds the phone, picks it up, and it's probably, I guess, her dad's voice.
He's saying, why won't you talk to me, Scarlett?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's picked up the phone now, and she didn't before.
It's actually the guy she took on the last catacombs.
Oh, is it?
Okay, talk to me.
Yeah, maybe she went on a date with Latoop and she just left him down there like she left dude in turkey jail.
Oh my god, that's what it was.
After she took the mole spelunking, she was done with him and just left him in there and no one returned his calls.
They call that the spelunk and plunk.
And then, speaking of spelunk dunking, they find LaTube, who was there the whole time.
Yes.
So it was him that called.
Well, this is after she hangs up the phone. They see him there. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, my God, you've been down here for 2 years. He's like, yeah. Yeah. I've been here for 2 years.
You didn't ever come back and look for me.
Yeah.
And none of you should be here.
I think I would murder him at this point.
You would just go immediately to jeez, murder? Maybe?
I would have made weapons out of the piano. God, and then as soon as I see someone who's possibly dead, I'd be like, we got to kill you, bro.
I hope we're never estranged for 2 years.
I know.
I would have, if I meander back into your life, you're going to kill me.
I would have the phone thing, like the cord and like the hanging out part
you're
of the
like
phone.
You're choking him out with the receiver. And
if we ever get stuck in the pod loft, Mikey's going to murder us.
Yeah.
No, you guys are safe, but if we run into people from our past, we got to kill them.
The nurse?
Yep.
Oh my God. Anyways, yes. So now they found LaTube and he says, here, come with me. I can show you the way. That was a French accent, everyone, just in case you couldn't tell. So yeah,
come with me. I can show you the way out. Yeah, because they're trying to find a way out.
Want the way out?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the ceiling starts to crack, but he says the only way out is down.
Yes.
And they find this terrible well with boards covering it that just looks like a well down into the pit of hell. And I wrote, what the fuck? Because don't go down there.
Yeah.
Although I guess they don't have a choice. I mean, they can't go out.
Yeah, the way they
way.
Came in is caved in.
Exactly.
So they cannot go out that way.
Right.
They've got to go in deeper, Mikey.
And she's saying there's a chamber down there that will show them the way out.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for the chamber.
The chamber of secrets?
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can slither in.
Ah, nice. All right. So now they're rappelling down this long, deep, dark hole.
Yeah, yeah they are.
Don't say it.
I want to, yeah, they are, count. In this
I know, listeners.
Awesome.
I apologize. I'm trying to keep it together, but they're rappelling down this deep, dark hole, and Benji, what?
Keep going.
So Benji slips down. And his hand gets real bloody. It's just tearing a hole right through his flesh.
It is. It really is, though.
Yeah, it is. Giggles aside.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Yeah. So she's wrapping his hand up and she says, won't stop bleeding.
Have you guys ever like had that rope burn kind of thing?
Yes.
No, but I've seen The Descent and it is. Oh.
Not to that extent, but yes.
Never to that extent, but that's happened to me too. I was at Climb Nashville and that sort of thing happened to me while I was rappelling somebody and it hurts. I mean, before it even breaks the skin, it hurts so bad. So
it like, sucks because your instinct is to like hold tight.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But while that's happening, he falls on top of George.
Right.
And then they fall to the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're okay once they get down, except his hands all fucked
except
up.
His hands are all fucked, but yeah.
And so then they're just walking around this tunnel and then George slips and I think like this river just kind of appeared there or he slipped into it and it made the sound all weird.
Yeah, he just slipped into it.
Did I tell you guys like my right ear closed up for like a month?
Yeah.
I thought that happened. I've had an ear infection that closed up my ear. And it does sound like
that. I had to go get it like vacuumed out or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sounded like that.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, like all muffled. And for a minute, like I didn't know it was supposed to happen. And we were just trying to figure out what had happened with the sound. But they're like knocking and stuff. But then they hear a really, really, really loud sound and growling. And then we see a small boy in the corner.
Yes.
And I think that's George's little brother.
It's got to be, right?
Right. Does anybody see him?
I don't know if anybody
sees
him at that point.
We do.
And so they get to a dead end. And now they start fighting because they don't know how to get out. And they're all just real stressed out. And so they start talking about this pharaohs because they see some markings on the ceiling.
Yeah, this is the
Ptolemaic hinge.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's
because
called.
Because this is the thing from the beginning that was on the back of the gravestone.
Mm-hmm.
This is that poem or whatever that was.
Right.
It's telling them how to defeat or get past this room.
Right, yeah,
the grill diary.
What a Ptolemaic hinge is. Ptolemaic.
I think it's just Ptolemaic. Yeah, because Ptolemy was the pharaoh.
It's a Ptolemaic hinge, and the way you do it is you have to take out the exact right stone or the ceiling will collapse on you and you'll die.
Right. But anyway, they Da Vinci code to figure out which one to pull out. And they like, oh, it's the seventh one.
Mm-hmm.
So they pull it out. And then this thing reveals, this capstone moves.
Right. They do some hot planet math is what I called it.
Yeah.
Because they were getting real excited by it.
Oh, was Copernicus a thing yet?
Right.
And they figure out it's seven. And
then
they go.
Counts and also the sun too. And I love you, but we can't say it yet. And so the stone.
How did they ever say it?
They don't. So after the hot planet math and they save the day, they roll a stone away and there's an even worse hole for them to crawl into.
The stone rolls away by itself.
It does.
But yeah, and they do crawl into that even worse hole, Mikey.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Lock it up, Mikey. Nope. All right. And so she crawls down in there and she takes a peek and she says, oh my God, you've got to see this. Like,
yeah. And then he
it?
Goes, what is it? And she goes, you have to see it.
Right.
That's not an answer to the I question
know.
I asked.
Not helpful.
I've lived this.
And so they go into the chamber and there's a tomb and it's a Knights Templar laying on this giant grave. And he's dead, but he hasn't rotted. He's been dead for like 700
years.
He would have touched the body, right?
It would be 700 years because it was the 1300s that they got killed. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the ones in France.
And there's more clues on the wall.
I'm impressed.
What?
With your ancient history knowledge.
I am a super nerd for history. I love it.
I would have touched this body.
Oh, yeah.
No. Also, no.
I would have taken his sword.
No. I didn't see a sword, but they should have been buried with their sword. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would have tried to find it, too.
It's a demon-haunted sword.
No, it took his armor.
They're not in hell yet. You need a weapon.
I would have taken the armor and dressed as a Knight Templar.
Yeah.
So now there's clues on the wall, and she says, you have to see something illuminated or something. And she says,
in the darkest dark, we'll reveal the lightest light or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So they turn off all their lights, and they see in this water that's in one corner of the cave, there's light coming through. They're like, where's that coming from?
Right.
And then she just jumps in and starts swimming over to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's got to punch through some stones first.
That's
true,
yeah.
She goes on the other side and she gets into this chamber, which the first thing she sees is a bunch of treasure.
Behind a sort of a...
like a gate.
Like a gate, yeah.
That may or may not be a trap. Because we've seen The Last Crusade. Yeah. Or is it Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Last Crusade.
So we know, don't ever go for the treasure because it's just a decoy for the real treasure.
Or honestly, I learned that in the first 10 minutes of Aladdin.
So she's going into the room and they all follow her and we see her looking at this wall thing with a bunch of clues on it and she's crying. She says, I finally found the stone. And they all go in there and they're just excited because there's a bunch of treasure.
Yeah, and they're trying to get the treasure while she figures out the stone. So she's telling us the myth about the sky.
The earth
and the
god
earth.
And the sky goddess.
Right,
yes.
And they birthed the sun and the sun got jealous so they can only touch it, their hands and their feet.
And they swallow them up. Yeah.
Right, and so she digs out the philosopher's stone that is the sun in this hieroglyph.
Right, and she says, what a way to hide the most valuable stone on earth, putting it right next to a bunch of treasure so people won't look at it because they haven't seen Indiana Jones yet.
You have chosen wisely.
Garlet chose wisely. Mm-hmm. The other members in the party chose poorly.
Yes.
And
this represents the what level?
Greed?
Yes, it is greed. It's the fourth level of hell because the Scooby Gang, the not quite so Scooby Gang, has pulled the fence away and is about to bust into the treasure chest.
Yes. Yeah, get those doubloons.
And then the ceiling collapses on them.
That's what happens when you try and get the booty without a
consent.
Yeah, you got to get consent.
She'll elbow you right on the head. So the ceiling collapses on them and they get out. And Suxi is like stuck under the rubble and they finally pull her out and her arm is all fucked up.
Yeah, it's Baroque.
And Latoop is still back in the chamber.
He's dead.
Yeah, he is. But he's been dead the whole time.
Right.
Yeah. So Suzy, her arm is all fucked up. But now, luckily,
it's cut open.
It looked broken too.
I think it was like hanging.
Bad.
Weird. Yeah. But now Scarlet has the philosopher's stone, and so she like chisels off a little bit and like holds it onto the arm, and it heals and cleans up all the blood.
It does.
And so now they're trying to figure out what the fuck to do. And they're like, well, they had to have been a back door because they would have known this may have collapsed. So they had to know.
Yeah, there's always a back door.
Yeah. So now they got to try to find the back door to crawl into.
Yes.
You got to be really careful
in case everything collapses on you.
Yeah. Because honestly, if you fuck up in the back door, things are going to go to shit.
Yeah. There's
listeners.
Dude, Jen's face palm was so aggressive. It was amazing.
This is like descending lower and lower into Jen's hell.
On the seventh level of sexual jokes.
Right. We get anal.
All right, let's move on.
All right. So we're seeing more writing. And she said, as above, so below. And Ta Nehisi said, he said the name of the movie.
It's always like a party when that happens.
I know, yeah. It's like the Pee Wee's Playhouse and we have a big button on the wall.
Honestly.
The couch eats Mikey.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right. So she says, as above, so below. And that's the key to all magic. And as I believe the world to be, so it is. And some of this, I did a little bit of research on what the phrase as above, so below actually means and where it came from. So what she's saying is because they drew a door in the ceiling that there must be a door right below. Also because as above, oinky blanky, so below.
But didn't she also say something like the world as I perceive it is the world as it is?
Yes.
Something like that.
So, like as above in my head, so below as with my feet.
Earth, right? Yeah. So like that is just like the shorthand for the secret.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
perception is reality.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems I have with this movie, because I
You don't like the book The Secret?
I read the book The Secret. Doesn't fucking work, man.
Well, it doesn't work because you don't believe it works. You don't believe hard enough.
Man. Oh, man. It is my fault. So they find this even grosser, even wetter, even scarier hole to crawl in.
Oh, my God. Is that possible?
What is it, like 4 a.m.?
All right. And so they go into another terrifying tunnel. Now they're back in the treasure chamber again, only it's totally empty and backwards and upside down. And the entrance is gone. And I think this is supposed to represent wrath, which is the fifth level of hell.
Yeah.
And Papillon is asking, are we dead? And she said, no, they're not. And so now they go through a water tunnel again, which I think is supposed to represent the River Styx.
That would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's the River Styx. Yeah. That's the one
that's
in
the
hell,
river
right?
in hell. Yeah.
And so they're hearing flashes and scary sounds and everything. And now they're back in the old tomb that's been all messed up, where the Knights Templar was laying dead on that tomb. And you had said earlier, that guy's going to be gone later.
Yeah.
And I thought that too, but he is there the whole time. And that's one of the things I think they...
No, he's decayed in this one.
Oh, is he decayed? Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah. And everything is reversed in this one.
Mm.
Yeah. So like even the as above, so below is different.
Oh, that's right. She says it's upside down. Yes. And I think we see the three upside down rings. And I think that's supposed to represent the heresy level, which is six.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're back in the old tomb and Latou is there. And he's just sitting in the back, kind of with his head down, looking all creepy.
And this is when Suksi, or however you say her name, creeps up to him. Mm-hmm. And he like jerks and then stands up like he's about to do like the sickest ass dance move or dance break. And
it's a
doesn't
little,
move.
Thrillery.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's already got a very weird disposition.
Yes. Like, yes.
Has had this the whole time.
I'd be like, weapons ready, friends.
Oh, yeah. I would have shot him immediately. Taken that Templar sword and stabbed him in the gut.
We have the Templar sword. We have the phone thing.
We have parts of the piano.
With the
piano wire.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We could go rot him with the piano wire. Anyway, Suksi's like going up to him and is going to like shake him to see if he's all right. And honestly, they are friends. And when she touches him, he loses his shit and beats her head into the ground until her like face explodes.
This is what loses me, because I don't understand what her thing was that like taunted her.
They don't really say what her sin was.
And honestly, she may not have had one, because we don't ever see anything other than the boy, which is George's, the phone call, and the dad, which is Scarlett's, and the car, which is Papillon.
So everyone but two people.
Well, and Benji has a woman.
Benji might have been afraid of women.
Okay, hear me out. Yeah. Suksi dared him to go into the tunnel, and that's how he died.
Oh, you think that her sin had something to do with the mole?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh,
he just never talks about that.
Right.
But that would help it line up.
That would help with things.
Like, if we wanted to write a better version of this movie, we might include that.
Yeah, she's now with Papillon, but she's like, I used to be with this guy named the Mole, and he was exploring, and he went down that tunnel, and now he is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he could have said, you never came looking for me, because she left.
Maybe,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're just doing a better job writing it than they did.
Thank you.
And so her face is all smashed in, and there's like a big hole in her forehead, and it's real gross.
Yeah, she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they try and use the stone to revive her, but she's already dead. The stone does not work on dead people.
You can't bring people back to life. And
also,
so,
the stone doesn't work at all ever past this point.
Well, we'll find out why it doesn't work later. But this is supposed to represent the seventh layer of hell, which is violence. And so now they have to go down another tunnel. An even darker, even scarier, even wetter, even more terrifying tunnel.
Yeah.
And they hear a noise. And this is when they find the noose, which is referencing her father. And they're saying it's like a mirror image of what we've already done. And it is starting to get a little repetitive. Like, we've seen these things before. They just keep going down even scarier holes.
We're out of sets.
Yeah, because it's just one hole after another.
It is. It is. It's like a cocaine binge.
That's no way to live.
So they figure out that they're 100 feet down, and now there's another tunnel, and Benji starts to hear a baby crying. We start to see the woman in white from the club before.
Yeah. I think the baby was Zed's.
The baby was Zed's, but I mean, that could be his sin, and they just don't talk about it. Yeah. So Benji is the last one going down, so he's still at the top of the hole, and then we see the woman right behind him in his face.
Scared the shit out of me, Todd.
This is the first time he knocked over the ottoman. And then Benji just falls down the hole and dies.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he is the second one to die.
He is. Yeah.
But yeah, because he falls like 100 feet.
He does. Yeah. And smashes his head. And it's real sad because I liked him.
Yeah, he was great. But camera, completely fine.
I didn't think about that.
This is a stable camera, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe it landed on top of him.
And of course, Zed's like, I still take the camera.
Yeah.
He's like, that's an expensive camera.
And then I like Pepe Lynn. He's just like, we've got to move on.
Exactly. He's like, my girlfriend already died. I don't care.
Guys.
But Scarlett is pretty upset about it.
Yeah, they were friends.
Exactly. Yeah. But now they're crawling over the bones again. And George starts to see a little boy under, like, underwater. And it almost looks like you're looking on top of ice, you know, and somebody's under the ice. And so it's his brother. And so he's having this vision of what his brother looked like when he was trapped in a cave and about to drown. And so he starts freaking out and trying to move all the stuff around. And so they get out of that jam. And then we hear screaming and we see a light kind of off in the distance and they're creeping up. And then they turn the corner and there's a burning car in the middle of the catacombs.
Yeah, just in the catacombs, a car on fire with a boy inside.
With a person inside. And he turns to look at Papillon and Papillon starts screaming that it wasn't his fault. And then he gets dragged into the car and the car disappears and like crumples into the ground and sucks him in and his feet are sticking out the top
and kicking. He's like head first, body buried in the ground, and only like his knees up are showing.
Right.
Knees down, I should say, are sticking up.
With the metaphor with him saying it wasn't his fault, didn't he already come to terms with that?
I don't know.
I mean, probably not.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Like, why did he get murdered?
Well, because when they're talking about why his hand was burned at the beginning when they were in the van,
we
don't talk about it. So I don't know if maybe
he
probably was in an accident. The car caught on fire and he chose to save himself and not drag his brother or whoever that was out of the car.
Yeah, well, probably
it was on fire.
Yeah, he burned himself getting out, or maybe burned himself trying to get him, but stopped and left and let that person die.
Yeah, and so that's what he's feeling guilt about.
I'm
probably
not saying he deserves to die, but I think that's probably what it was.
So this is supposed to represent treachery, which is the 9th level of hell. And the reason his feet are sticking out like that is because that's what the people in this level of hell in the Inferno are looking like. And I remember seeing that for the first time and it really kind of messed with me. It's like, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
Because I was like, can they get him out? No, they can't.
It's almost hellish.
It is hellish. Yes. So they're hearing more noises and they're going around a dark tunnel and we're hearing the trumpet. And earlier she had said, when the trumpet rings, the dead will rise.
Yeah, that was in the catacombs.
Right. When like they were on the guided tour. Yeah.
Which is also a reference to the second coming and the resurrection. But
right. And so they see a man in a black robe walking past and it's really creepy.
And it's like smoky. He looks smoky from like the chest down.
Right. Yeah. And I think this guy is supposed to be either Judas or maybe this guy is supposed to be the devil. So there are faces in the wall and then we see there's a chair and this guy is sitting in this chair and he's just making like these grunting noises and it's really creepy.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing. He's in the middle of the chamber there.
Yeah, and so George is up against a wall, and there's a face monster right behind him, but just looks like a still face, and he's distracted by something on the side of the tunnel.
I mean, it looks like a statue.
It does, like kind of like a gargoyle kind of thing.
It looks like faces screaming in marble, but in the rock wall.
Yes,
but like sliding around it.
But it's not. It's a giant stone marble face monster who bites the shit out of George's neck and scares the shit out of Todd. And was the second time he knocked over the ottoman.
It was terrifying.
I think this is probably the scariest part of the movie.
It got me.
Because he jumps out. He doesn't just jump scare out. He jumps out and attacks him and bites a giant chunk out of his neck.
Yeah, he does.
And they have to like, and it's like this whole production where they have to fight him off and then drag him down to the catacombs. And they're still down in the middle of hell. Like they're not safe yet. So she's trying to get the stone out and the stone's not saving him. And this is when she realizes it's not the right stone. And I think he's saying something about vitriol or something. I'm not sure. But
he whispers that as she's trying to heal him. And they're like pressing that, I guess, piece of clothing into his wound.
Yeah. And so she says it's rectification, but she's realizing she has to rectify it by taking it back and putting it back in. And that's when she'll find the real stone.
That's how it works.
Uh-huh. So she just real quick zips on back out of there after beating the shit out of the stone man.
She leaves Zed. She's like, Zed, I'll be right back. And he's like, what? Don't let him die. That's a lot of responsibility you're putting on me.
And I still have to film the whole thing, too.
Person I don't know, you put a lot of pressure on me.
Exactly. My favorite part about this scene is that she just runs up to a stone man, slaps him in the face, and he just dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just like falls down.
She's like, Krav Maga!
Well, she is does a black take belt. Krav Maga, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously you can break stone apart.
Well, it was styrofoam, man.
Yeah.
Sandstone.
But she also climbs that rope up real quick.
Yeah, she does.
And so,
honestly, that wasn't sexual.
No, I was just being.
I can hear it in your voice if it's sexual or not. That wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Todd and I were like, well, this is where we would die because that's like a 90-foot sheer rope climb.
I might get 30 feet up that rope and then I'd lose it and just die.
It's not worth it.
I'd go out like Benji. Burned up hands and just dead on the floor.
I'll call you.
Now you'd land on his body, you'd be fine.
So now she sees a river of blood and she gets pulled under by it. And that scared the shit out of you, too.
Yes, it did.
Why did that scare you so much?
Because it's scary, Mikey. And the creepy hands pulling you under the blood water. What are we talking
about? And you're in hell. Yeah. All right. So she gets pulled under, but she fights her way out because she Krav Maga's it. And then she sees her dad and he's hanging there again, but he's got a cloth over his face.
Well, you said over her face first, and it is.
Because a wangy blinky.
Yeah, when she pulls that cloth off,
it was her
face
hanging out the whole time.
Yeah.
And so then she goes down into the water, conveniently cleaning all the blood off, and she gets back into the temple place, and she puts the stone back, and she's trying to look around for the stone, and then she notices that this is a reflective surface and that it's a mirror, and she sees her face in the mirror.
What does this mean?
I don't know what this part means. What? This is the part that kind of loses
this
me.
This loses me.
What? The magic was in you all along. It's just the secret.
It's the dragon scroll, guys.
I don't know.
It literally is the dragon scroll. So, like, if you remember from Kung Fu Panda,
he is like going deep into Kung Fu Panda.
He gets the dragon scroll, he opens it, and it's a reflection of whatever you're looking at. He's looking himself. So, it is just him.
Uh-huh.
Right? And that's exactly what it is for her. She puts the stone in and she wipes the gold thing off and she sees
some
that she is the stone.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying what it is.
Right. And so this is the part where the philosopher's stone doesn't quite fit for me, because I think what it is when she looks in the mirror is she realizes she has the power to get herself out of this by herself because she can just forgive herself. I don't think she becomes magical. I think she's just...
No, she becomes magical.
She heals the guy.
No, I know. But I think if you're in hell, like the whole metaphor of being in hell, she's found the way to get herself out of hell.
Oh, it's like bad relationships. Like, how do I get out of here? You wipe that mirror clean and you're like,
I set myself free.
Right. But I don't know. This part, when I watched it the first time, I was like, that is a real dumb.
Yes, it is real dumb.
I see what they were trying to do, but I think, I don't know if it's clear enough to make enough sense. And I could see why people would think it is really stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway, she realizes that the magic has been inside her the whole time. And she starts talking about this as above, so below thing. And this is what kind of bugged me, because I don't think, like, you can't just believe things and they're true. That's not how magic works. I guess that's how the
secret
works.
That's how right-hand path magic works. So, yeah.
What's right-hand path magic?
It's that.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a lot of that stuff. It's a very, very big thing, and I honestly don't understand much of it. But
really?
That's
well, I mean,
a part
there's
of it.
Like, I think positive thinking is great, and I think that you set yourself up for failure with negative thoughts a lot of times. But I mean, anyways. But that. So now she realizes that she's got the power to get them out. So now she ninja kicks her way back to George through all the obstacles.
Yes.
And we see that there are a bunch of hooded people coming to try to get them. And this is when she's saying, "As above, so below, and as I see the world, so it will be." So she's kind of magicking her way back there.
Yes.
And if she is really in hell, that's kind of like a hell of her mind. So I could imagine she's just kind of learning to overcome it. It's like when she finally realizes what the Matrix is, you know, and when Neo starts to believe.
Yeah.
And so she sees her dad hanging and she goes and she says, "I'm sorry. And I should have picked up the phone." And it's like she's releasing this pain.
And this guy she's in love with is bleeding out on the floor, like the layer below them. But she's going to take time to hug an illusion. Yeah. And say, "I'm so sorry, I didn't answer the phone."
It's symbolic.
It is symbolic.
It's
and he's
symbolic.
Like holding onto his neck, bleeding out. He's like, "This is the worst date I've ever."
Worst ever. Third date. Ever.
Yeah, I bet that turkey jail doesn't look so bad now.
Gobble, gobble.
All right, so now she gets back there, and this is the part that really bugged me the first time I watched it, because she kisses him and heals him. So I guess
she's holding his neck, too.
True. And if she's the magic stone, I guess, whatever.
I mean, you just haven't heard the Huey Lewis and the News song.
Oh, the power of love. I do like that song.
It
it's from my favorite documentary about time travel.
Fame. It don't take the philosopher's stone to heal that neck wound. Yeah. All right, whatever. Let's move on.
All right. And so now they're running and they see an even bigger hole and they have to take the plunge.
Yeah, and they do. But they
do.
They literally like hold hands.
They
but
do.
Doesn't she like address them?
Yeah, she's like, we got to rectify our shit. We got to just jump.
And that's how the Inferno ends. They have to jump down Satan's belly, climb down Satan's belly, jump into his navel to get out. It's called the bottomless pit of penitence.
Okay.
And it's like a reverse leap of faith. So what they do first is they're releasing themselves of their sin because she has just come to terms with her guilt about her father.
Just release it, Mikey.
Yeah, just let it go.
Just let it out.
Don't hold it back anymore.
Oh, like, are we at the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so she's released herself. And so she says, George, why is your brother haunting you? What is it? And he now says what he's been feeling guilty about for so long, that he left his brother and said he was going to go get help, but then he got lost.
He was a kid.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and it kind of goes back to the car thing, like, or not answering the phone. Like, it's not that he really did anything wrong, but this is something that's been haunting
him. It's been eating at him. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, but so once he can release it, it like lightens his conscience. Yeah. And then Zed's
like,
saying,
I don't know you guys. I don't want to like, exactly. You all
my biggest sin was coming with you.
Exactly. Yeah. A little too personal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he can't werewolf him. He's got to commit.
Yeah.
And so he says that he has a baby and he knows that it's his baby, but he denies it.
Right.
So he's releasing his guilt. And so then they all hold hands and they jump down the hole and land at the bottom. But it's kind of like an Alice in Wonderland-y kind of tube traveling. And so they hit the ground, but they're okay. But now they're fucked because they're stuck down there and there's no way out. So Zed starts freaking out, but not so fast.
This is the coolest shot in the whole movie.
It is really cool. There's a manhole cover at the very bottom. And so they start trying to pull it up. And Mikey's like, no, you push it. And so they push it. They
push
it real good.
Yeah.
Nice. And so they push it in a little bit to the side. So push
right.
And then to the left just a little
bit. The pulling out comes later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They pull themselves out.
Yes.
Exactly. You have to do that.
You have to do that.
That's the important part.
Oh, my God.
Anyways. All right. So now they.
Mikey's had some mistimings. So they move the manhole cover and then they sort of crawl out and you realize that is just the street.
Yes, and it's really cool because they see trees and like, what the fuck? And I can imagine them being a little nervous because what the fuck else is going to happen on this crazy adventure?
Not but the trees is new. I'd be like, oh, a tree, let's go. The trees are good.
Yeah. But so they go out and they're upside down on the street of Paris and it stays upside down the whole time until they close the manhole cover too, which I like. So they're
because they throw the camera out and the camera's upside down.
Yeah,
it's a cool shot. It is. It's really cool. Did we talk about it? Okay?
Yeah, it's a very cool shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now they're on the street of Paris and they're out and everything's happy. Yay! And so they all give themselves a hug.
And then Zed's like, bye.
Yeah. He's like, fuck you guys. That was crazy.
And plus, you guys are going to be boning for the next 4 hours.
Exactly.
So. I've got a kid to acknowledge.
And I'm going to go meet my son. Yeah. And so then they hug, we imagine, Amore later because we forgot to say when all the shit was going crazy in the middle, they were like, hey, come on. I know I gave you a whole bunch of shit about this turkey jail, but that was the best week of my life. She said, yeah, me too.
And they're right outside, maybe not right outside, but in the distance, you can see
the Notre Dame
Cathedral. Yeah.
Yeah, the back of it with the buttresses.
Yeah. And we're right back in the hole.
Yep, we are.
But that's the movie.
No, not just yet.
No, Todd. Sorry.
So now we're back to the interview that we saw at the beginning. She's saying she's not doing it for financial gain. She's just a student and it would be great historical value and she just wants the truth. And so I think that's kind of relating to just tell yourself the truth about the things that are causing you guilt and pain and shame and that's what's going to set you free. And that's the movie.
And that's the movie. Yeah.
I like the metaphor of the movie. Mm-hmm. It bugs my movie critic mind that the people down there were like, we're just going to willy-nilly murder you without explaining your sins. That part destroys the movie for me.
They're the B-cast. See, and I don't care so much about that because I think maybe if they had drawn that out a little more.
It would have taken two seconds because they didn't spend much more time on the main cast sins.
No, they did not.
Fair point. Doesn't bother me because I can just imagine that they were terrible people or something.
I like the ending and I like that Jonah and the Scarlet get together at the end.
I like the point of it, like releasing what's causing you shame. And I like seeing like a depiction of the inferno that's, I think, more interesting than reading that book or watching a movie like that. So I thought that was a well done thing. The first time I watched it, though, the ending bugged me. And I don't like the whole sorcerer's thing. It was in her the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's really the only problem I had was the sorcerer's stone was the dragon scroll.
Yeah.
And was a part of her the whole time or was inside her the whole time. Mm. Or that she just realized that the, you know, whatever she believed hard enough was true.
Right.
So that she could be this healer or whatever.
But that breaks down because of the Iran thing. So it needs to be a real thing that leads them there because it had this whole Indiana Jones plot to get them in there. If they had just gone, like gotten trapped in there randomly and their sins started haunting them, then like this believe in yourself stuff happened, that would make sense. But since they were led by real clues, something concrete needed to come out of that.
Oh yeah.
And I liked all the clues and like the adventuring of getting down there and like
the Indiana
stuff.
Jane stuff for
I do.
But
I
can't
just
get down there and the clues be like it's believing in yourself. Like
but that's what it is.
It's just the power of positive thinking.
No, but it should have been like just like a real expensive, like they should have like gotten rich or some bullshit like that. Or she like has the power to heal things afterwards.
And to be fair, maybe she does.
Yeah, she does.
We
that
just
would
don't
be cool.
See
show
it.
That.
Anyway.
She's going to heal that dick later.
But in the Inferno, he just has a dream and that's how he's in hell. Like there's the whole quest for something is something that they added. And I like it, except for that very end part. It doesn't quite work for me. But yeah, I really liked it.
I liked it.
I liked it better this time, knowing more of the basis for it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't hate it. Like, I can see why people enjoy this movie. I just didn't like the very, very big plot hole of, oh, I'm just magic now.
Right.
And it's just so scary. There's like some really, really scary parts.
I think like it better now that we've talked about it. Than I did before. But I still don't think it's like super awesome.
All right, well, let's talk box office then.
All right.
So what do you guys think the budget for this movie was?
I thought it was probably pretty low because it's found footage and you usually don't need a bigger budget for those.
Yeah, you'd think that. Mikey, what do you think the budget was for this movie?
$5 million.
It was $5
million. Wow.
Oh!
No, that's based on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia is not super reliable, so it's not that. Sorry about that. I'm just saying it's not. It's Wikipedia
well,
is not the most
reliable
source.
Well, Mikey got it right. It must not be true.
Right.
It ended up making $21 million domestically and $20 million foreign, so it made $41 million.
Yeah.
It came out the same week the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie came out.
Hmm.
Oh,
so
my.
It was. In its first week, it was fifth at the box office.
Really?
Guardians was first. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Michael Bay shit fest, was second. Uh-huh. If I Stay and Let's Be Cops all beat it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did not get very good reviews.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah, I can too. I as much as like I liked it, I can see people having a big problem. Yeah.
Well, since it takes place in a cave, it's not elevated horror.
It's undervated.
It's undervated. I was trying to think of the word. Lowervated.
So that's box office. Jen, do you have some fun facts for us?
I do have some fun facts.
Jen's fun facts.
All right. So now with even more fun. So I've already talked a lot about the Inferno. I'll link more information about that. But I want to mention a podcast called Fictional, which is kind of a retelling of these stories in a funny way, kind of like the literary version of our very own podcast. But it's called Fictional, and they have two episodes that are great about the Inferno, and I'll link them.
Cool.
And so we talked a little bit about the catacombs, but this was actually filmed in the catacombs, and it was the first production ever filmed in there, and they had to get permission from the French government because it is illegal to go into parts of these places, probably because it's really dangerous and it collapse on you.
And
you know?
Some of them are flooded.
Yeah, right. So Ben Feldman plays George in this movie, and he is apparently extremely claustrophobic.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, he had a really hard time filming
Jesus.
This. I know.
Like, he's like, I really want to be famous.
I know.
But oh, gosh.
I know. I'm taking one for the team, man.
When he was like, I'm not going in there, he was not acting at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. Yeah, he's like, I don't go underground.
Yeah.
So he would have to film and then go out and take breaks a lot.
That does not surprise me. Yeah.
He's great Superstorm. Glad he got some work.
But I imagine that probably helped him a lot and that a lot of his reactions were very natural because he was terrified of this.
I mean, he's great in this movie.
He is, yeah. I think
not acting at all.
But I like him as an actor, too.
Oh, I think he's great.
So the phrase, as above, so below, I'm going to link an article which has a little bit more information about this too, but there are a couple of theories about where it comes from. It could come from the Lord's Prayer, which is on earth as it is in heaven, or some people say it comes from the Emerald Tablet, which is an Egyptian and Greek kind of Rosetta Stone kind of thing, which is like the basis of all of their art. But basically what scholars think it is saying that what is for the microcosm is for the macrocosm. So like what I do affects the world around me.
That
so,
makes sense.
Yeah. But I'll
it's
link.
Also Matthew 18:18. It's like, I can't quote it exactly, but it's like, whatever I bind on earth, so it shall also be bound in heaven. It's something like that. I can't remember exactly. Don't quote me on that.
Which, and so that's not quite what she's saying in this movie, though.
No.
And that's what bugs me a little bit. She's saying is what I believe is magic and I can make things happen with my mind.
If I just believe hard enough.
I know.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's the origin of that phrase. So fun fact about Nicholas Flamel. He was a real person from the 14th century. He was believed to have found the Philosopher's Stone, which is believed to be a real thing, believe it or not. And they also thought that he could turn metals into gold.
Yes.
I'll link some more information about him.
He was like the quintessential alchemist.
Right. And my last fun fact is the writer-director of this is named was John Eric Dowdle, and he also directed the Poughkeepsie Tapes and Quarantine, which are also...
Oh, really?
You've seen the Poughkeepsie Tapes,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, that's going to scare you a lot.
Is that found footage, too?
Yes, but in like a way creepier way.
Yeah, so he's pretty good at found footage, I think, all that to say. And those are my fun facts.
Well, thank you for your fun facts.
Well, you're welcome for my fun facts.
So should we do Scary Scale?
We should do Scary Scale. Hey, listeners. Our Scary Scale is a scale we use to rank how scared we were when we watched this movie. It's not a ranking of the quality of the film. It's how scared we were tonight when watching this movie. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All right, Todd, I have a feeling this might be a little high on the scary scale.
I don't know. I'm thinking Todd's going to give this a 5.
Hmm. I was going to say 6.
I was going to say six.
There's a lot of scares. It's all backloaded, though. The first 45 minutes is just Indiana Jane, and I'm here for it.
It's awesome. It's fun.
The rest of it is scary and bullshitty. I fucking hate it. And I only say that because it was scary. Like, it's actually a pretty decent movie. I didn't like the big plot hole of it was within you the whole time.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, I get it. It's a good movie.
What you got, Mikey?
I think we give it like a 4.
That's fair.
The only part that really scared me was the stone.
Oh,
thing.
My God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. The stone face killer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give it a 5.
All right.
I mean, it's got those jump scares, but it's just really uncomfortable and gross the whole time. And that really gets me a lot of times. It's just the revulsion factor of
it. I think if I had seen this before Descent, I would have rated it higher. But I think Descent does this cave, gross, enclosed, scary stuff way scarier.
It's hard to compete with a Descent because that movie is amazing. Yeah. But yeah, 5.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we thought it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
Well done, listeners. I think the theme for this month was Let's Scare Todd to Death, and we got pretty close.
Yeah. All right, so this week the listeners made me watch As Above, So Below. What are you guys making me watch next week?
Well, guys, our next episode is the last regularly scheduled Winky Blinky episode before Halloween.
Nice.
And we are watching Halloween 2.
All right.
We have already watched the original Halloween and the new Halloween remake or sequel, Halloween 2018.
Yeah.
So we are watching Halloween 2 from 1981, and I'm really excited.
I just watched the trailer for Patreon. It does not look great. The trailer. Now, this is like early 80s when all trailers sucked.
I think it's good.
Well, guys, watch it for next week. We'll see how it is. So, Mikey, we're going to read a 5-star review, and this 5-star review came in from Redrum613 from Canada, and they specifically asked if you could do it in a Christopher Walken impression.
Uh-oh.
Oh, shit. That's not an accent, for the record.
It is an accent.
It's an impression.
Christopher Walken accent.
It's not the definition of the word.
Listen, we're going to deliver.
Okay.
So the title of this is My Favorite Horror Podcast.
Thanks.
You so much. And the first sentence is, if this gets read, I'd love to hear Mikey Christopher Walken impression this.
Mm.
So pick up right here.
Can't get enough of our version.
Nice.
Hilarious guests, great format, and awesome movies being reviewed.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Is this Christopher Walken?
Shut the fuck up.
It's Christopher Walken. If you were in House 2, like fixing a hole in the wall.
I recommend you to anyone. I talk about horror-related content.
This sounds more like James T. Kirk.
Yeah, it does. I can't stop.
Just gotta make it a little more goofy sounding. Yeah,
I can't. My favorite horror podcast.
The thank you so much for the review. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Mike sort of butchered that. I think
five.
The only thing I can say, like Christopher Walken, and it's taken me years to even do this.
There we go.
Is Wowie, wow, wow. And that's taken me years to figure out how to do.
Christopher Walken says that?
Yes.
Yeah.
In what?
A bunch
everything.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
Wowie.
Wow.
Well, wow.
Yeah. Honestly, it was just me and Lee on our trip to the UK. And I was with Natalie and his wife, Whitney, were there. And we just bugged the shit out of them. We're going, wowie, wow, wow.
Oh, my God.
All I see now are reviews with like crazy ass accents.
Oh, I know. It's great. Thank you so much for the 5-star review. If you want Mikey to read your 5-star review, leave us a 5-star review. And if you so choose, I guess impression or accent.
I did not consent.
I mean, and honestly, you did not do a great job with the. And honestly, it helps other people find the show. I realize that sounds strange, but it really does.
It really does.
It moves us up higher in the rankings. So thank you guys.
How Apple works.
Exactly.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to that sweet Shining reference. Awesome. Thank you, Redrum.
All right, guys. We are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. And if you're listening to us in their feed, switch to our feed because you get it 2 days earlier if you're listening on our feed on Mondays, or if you want to be lazy about it, listen to it on Wednesday when it hits their feed. You can also listen to their podcast, Modern Horrors Podcast, Death, Dying, and Other Things, and the lovely Final Girls in that feed. Oh, if you guys want to follow us online, go to horrorvirgin.com or on socials, it's at Horror Virgin. If you want to follow us individually, it's mrandolph24 for the
Jen.
Mikey.
Oh.
Jen is Jen Ferratu, and I am at Todd J. Awesome. If you can help financially support the show, please do go to patreon.com and sign up for some of the great levels. We have a lot of great content up there already that you'll have access to, and we keep adding content week over week. Yeah. And if you can't help financially support the show, please just continue to do what you're doing, and that is telling your friends, family, and coworkers about the show. Guys, we've been hitting some like record fucking numbers this past month, and it's pretty much because you guys are telling everyone about the show, because we don't have the money to promote it. So thank you for doing
that.
Yeah. And if you want exclusive free content, like you can't pay for the Patreon, but you want exclusive free content, there is daily free content in the Facebook group, not the Facebook page. There's two different things, the Facebook page and the Facebook group. Make sure you're in the Facebook group.
All right. That's going to be it from us tonight. Thank you, listeners, so much for requesting this. I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd, guys.
Have a great week. Stay out of them holes.
Bye! I mean, don't stay out of the holes, though, nerds.
Stay out of the wrong holes.
Yeah. Well, if it's deep, dark, and wet and squishy, don't go in.
That's actually what we want, I think.
Get consent, though.
Yes, definitely get consent.
Mm-hmm. The mole guy's been down here 3 years.
Rooting around them holes.
Don't let a mole in your hole, guys.
Oh, my God. He's just a regular mole.
In a regular hole?
Yes! Oh, my God.